You are listening to the Young Black Travelers Podcast, Black voices conversing on experiential travel, dedicated to creating a global community of travelers. Be bold, be inspired, be spontaneous. We are YBT.
Wow. Welcome listeners to another episode and a new season of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. My name is Asher Cunningham, and I am the founder of Young Black Travelers. You know what? We are so excited to honestly be doing these video podcasts with you, the audio podcast, as you have been listening to all these seasons, and we're stepping into a new lane here with video. But you could see on your screen, we have someone, like we always do on our podcast, a new guest, and I'm going to let him introduce himself. So Herbert, I'm going to pass it over to you to intro yourself.
Thank you, Asher. Good evening, folks. My name is Herbert Signore. I'm the Director for Academic Advising in the Kuala Lumpur School at CCNY, which is actually Asher's alma mater.
Yes.
I'm a graduate of CCNY and Kuala Lumpur School.
Yes, proud graduate of CCNY and the Powell School. Listen, and that was actually my introduction to travel, study abroad. Well, not travel, but study abroad and discover the world. Hence why we have these conversations to really encourage you, our listeners, to go and explore your world. And Herbert, we're going to talk about, I guess, his introduction to CCNY and his introduction to working with students who've studied abroad. Yeah. So listen, Herbert and I actually used to work together at the City College of New York.
Right, that's right.
That's literally how we met. we worked at the Powell School, my alma mater. But Herbert is also a Dominican, not a person from the Mid. Now I'm saying it. I'm confused. I'm going to be confused now. Not from the Dominican Republic, but Dominica. You know, and people usually confuse them. So, Herbert, before we get into the conversation, tell us a little bit about Dominica and what you think our listeners probably may want to know about Dominica.
Well, actually, it's not too far from St. Vincent, right? And it's part of the Windward Chain of Islands. It's called the Nature Island of the Caribbean. In terms of square area, it's about 300 square miles, population about 70,000. But most of the population is coastal because it's a very rugged island. As you know, St. Vincent is rugged. But from what I know, Dominica is even more rugged in the terrain. There are a lot of mountains. There are 9 active volcanoes. I know you have one that's active also. We have the world's second largest boiling lake. So when people think of the Caribbean, they think of beaches and sand and stuff, but Dominica's coast is very rugged. There's some beaches, but not like, let's say, Antigua or the Coral Islands, where you have lots of sandy beaches. The coast tends to be more rugged.
Mm.
The industry was an agro-based industry. No, it's shifted to tourism slightly, but most of the tourists coming to Dominica tend to be eco-lovers, so people are into hiking.
Mm-hmm.
There are not many large resorts. There tend to be more boutique hotels in Dominica.
Got you. All right. Listen, so we're going to learn a little bit more about Dominica as we get into this conversation with Herbert. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the meat of the conversation and just explore studying abroad and Dominica with Herbert. So stay tuned. So welcome back from our break. Again, we have Herbert here with us. Herbert and I have known each other for quite some time. I've always known that Herbert is a proud Dominican. And interestingly, we're having this conversation around Dominica and his introduction to the City College of New York through the study abroad program. So Herbert, tell us about, I guess, your experience hosting this student in Dominica, because I asked that because when I studied abroad in Argentina, So I stayed with a family, a host family. I've never really talked to someone on the other end who have hosted. I just know that when, I went, obviously they spoke just Spanish and, we interacted as much as we could. But what was the experience like for you as a host in Dominica?
So I'll actually go back to when I actually got introduced to CCNY. Because you want to study architecture, and there's no program of architecture in UWE, which is the University of the West Indies. So I had to come either North America, or I was thinking maybe England, and there was also a possibility of going to Cuba. But at the time, the government of Dominica did not recognize or give difficulty for students returned from Cuba. So that shifted my vision, maybe going to England and coming to the US. It so happened that a group of students who were doing study abroad from City College visited my sixth form college in Dominica. And one of the students was a student of architecture. So I got to meet him and talk to him about the architecture program at CCNY. So that encouraged me to apply to City College.
Wow.
So that's how I started at City College. And during my first semester, I met a friend who's actually one of my best friends right now. He's from Portugal, and he was studying film at CCNY.
Wow.
And a couple, maybe 2 years after I started at City College, there's a program, a study abroad program coming to Dominica, which my friend signed up for. Just at the time I was going home to visit my family. So I actually hosted my friend and was part of the group when they went touring the island. I would meet with them. The local historian in Dominica was a good friend of mine. That's Leonard Connie Church. He's actually one, when I was actually coming to study architecture, before I came up here, I had a good friend from Trinidad. Incidentally, my family's both from Dominica and Trinidad. Half my family's from Trinidad. My dad's side of the family's from Trinidad.
Ah, you're Trini Dominican.
So there was this friend who was from Trinidad but studying in Dominica, and we went to school together, and we were both going to study architecture. However, before going to come to study architecture, we did a couple of tours of the Caribbean. So we went to St. Kitts Nevis, Antigua, Guadeloupe, Martinique, Barbados. We did a tour looking at different Caribbean architectural styles. And the local historian was friends with folks with historical sites throughout the island. So back then, there was no email. It was a letter writing. So he wrote letters of introduction to me. So I'll take this handwritten letters to the folks in islands that I'd visit as the historians. And I got to meet them and interact with them. So that's what my sense of travel went through the Caribbean. But even before that, my dad worked in Antigua at the time in the oil refinery. So I was always going back and forth to Antigua. And since my family stretched from St. Martin down to Trinidad, Guyana, I was always visiting the island. So traveling was something that is part of me.
Wow. I don't hear St. Vincent in there.
Well, I'm cousin St. Vincent also.
Listen, well, your family certainly spans the Caribbean. You know, this is really good to know. I mean, when we talk about and when we talk about to most people, and when we recognize how their love of travel and their global awareness begins, we recognize that these exposure happens early, right? Sometimes it's in college, sometimes it's their families who are traveling that grow that love. And that's the whole mission of YBT, right? We really want to inspire young people, especially young people who probably may be in the inner cities who do not have the experience like you and I may have had. Because, you know, I flew on a plane for the first time, I think when I was probably younger than 10, right? But there are people who we both may have worked with who probably have never been on a plane, who may have never left the state of New York. But it's encouraging to hear stories like yours, which is an addition to why the work that we do is so pivotal, because early exposure is important. Wow. Thank you, Herbert. So when you hosted your friend, what did you observe? Like maybe the shock, the culture shocks, if any, that he may have had about Dominica, maybe different things that he may have been thinking about Dominica that he may have found that wasn't so. Talk about that.
So a part of it is just experiencing the rockiness of the island and the greenness of the island. I have an aunt actually who lives in a village close to no longer Caribbean, or called Kalinago Reservation. So he actually visited the indigenous folks of the island, and experience, how they lived, their culture. That's not something that he experienced, because most people think of the Caribbean and they don't realize that there are still folks who are indigenous in the region. And not only in Dominica, in Vinci, you have folks who are indigenous mixing with folks who came from Africa also.
Yeah.
So the whole Garifuna history comes from St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
So in Dominica, whilst he visited me, apart from the arranged tours, he stayed with an aunt of mine in a village which was on the border of the Kalinago Reservation. So we'd take walks down to the reservation and just experience life with the indigenous folks. So that was something that he experienced previously.
Wow. I'm happy you said, there's a few things you said that is pretty pivotal here, right? Because as you said, when most people think of the Caribbean, they're thinking sun, sea, sand, beaches, all of that. We don't necessarily think of Dominica probably not having a rugged nature to it. Yeah. I think whenever people think the Caribbean, they just think it has all beaches. So you're talking about the nature part, and that was probably the shock that he experienced. And I'm also sure probably the nature too. And as you said, the Carib.
And fresh produce. You go in the backyard and you dry coconut with your knock cracker and grated coconut, eat coconut. Bananas right off the tree, fresh fruits all over the place. And he still talks about that experience of the taste of the fresh produce and the foods.
Listen, I mean, Dominica being the nature isle of the Caribbean, I'm sure what you said has to be true, right? And does Dominica do a lot of farming? It's not the breadbasket of the Caribbean. Who is?
So a bunch of islands, if you look at Dominica, it's the agricultural production is still there, but not as what it was when I was growing up. So you still, right now, you find a lot of imported items coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in terms of the Caribbean, it's one of the islands where you have a lot of local produce still being supplied to other islands. I mean, the Antigua, the French islands, and St. Kitts Nevis. St. Vincent also produces a lot of produce that supplies it at some other islands, even Trinidad, Grenada, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Vinci, you have a lot of arrowroot,
mm-hmm.
Dominica, a lot of citrus, dashing, bananas still, Grenada, spices, cocoa.
We all come together as a collective. Yes.
We're one island, but then we all have something special, but we all have a greater force together. We all have a shared history.
Yes. And what would you say? So when you took your friend or the study abroad student to now experience the now Kalinago, as we call them, their village, what would you say was probably the most shocking, surprising thing that you remember him learning in that experience?
Just the ruggedness, some of it, the spaciness of the land, because. Mm. We come from New York, we're from Portugal. There's a lot of development taking place there, right? But then it's still, at that period, there's still a sparseness and emptiness and a ruggedness to the island.
So
you go from the urban center, but then going to the villages, you go for long periods of time when all you see is the river, mountains, and a green, and you drive through the canopy of the rainforest.
So I guess
it's majestic.
And the Kalinago people, or the Carib people, they are in what part of Dominica?
They are in the southeast end of the island. That's where the reservation is. However, there are pockets in different parts of the island. So there are different areas where there are people who are descendants of the indigenous folks, but then the main reservation is on the east coast.
Okay. And so thinking about students who may be interested in studying abroad, and probably, let's say we're going to think that Dominica may be a destination that they should visit. What are things that you would say to them or probably say to a study abroad program, that they should ensure that students take from that experience, particularly from a Dominican perspective?
So a range of things. Understand the culture, understand the history, the complexity of that history, issues of colonization, decolonization, enslavement, but resistance to enslavement. To learn about marinage, learn freedom wasn't just given, it was fought for. Understand that the connectivity with those issues, it didn't just break and that's the end of it. There are things that we struggle with right now that comes from that history. That there's a connection to what's happening right now to that past.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Yeah. And so let's go into, I guess, back to Dominica from where we started in the beginning. And I guess, why should someone outside of studying abroad, I know Dominica now has direct flights from the United States, from Miami on American Airlines, I think daily. So thinking about the American tourist, the tourist globally, because American Airlines is a global airline, and you can connect from the UK to Miami and get to Dominica, right? So why should someone think and consider of visiting Dominica? What makes Dominica unique? What makes it special? Maybe even what makes it different from most of the Caribbean islands?
What sounds most to me is the natural beauty of the island, but also the culture that we bring forth. The music that comes from Dominica right now is bouillon, but before that, we had what we had called canaslipso, which actually was a mixture that's come from the 70s of Haitian compa music and calypso from Trinidad. So Dominica has been an exponent. It's a small island, but in terms of the musicality coming from that island has been amazing. It's been a big producer from the 70s with bands like Grammax, Exile One, and tons of what happened would happen. A number of groups would go to the neighboring islands, Guadeloupe, Martinique, to do recordings and the influence of French compa music. The connectivity of the Caribbean comes together in several ways, and it shows you have compa music from Haiti and calypso from Trinidad that influence, and Dominica making its own. Actually, just recently, with the development of the musical form called Bouillon Music in Dominica, we have that big hit a couple years ago with Skinny Fabulous from St. Vincent and a producer from Dominica with that song Family and that whole group of guys from Trinidad. So I've got a producer from Dominica, someone from St. Vincent, and a whole Trinity crew creating something. So you see the connectivity of the islands. But beyond that, in terms of its carnival, Dominica has a spontaneous carnival. Same time as Trinidad. So in terms of the market, it's not as big as Trinidad. But in terms of the festivities leading to the carnival, It's amazing. You have the whole series of calypso tents. The steel band is not as big as it used to be, but we have something called Lapo Cabuit. Dominica, in terms of language, we have an Afro-French Creole spoken, similar to what's spoken in St. Lucia. It's understood. We can understand folks from Haiti, also Guadeloupe, Martinique, Seychelles. So there's that. Synergies of African languages, French, coming together. So Lapo Cabuit means the skin of the goat. So we had those drums in that period. So there are these drum percussion groups going through the streets before the actual carnival, what we'll have, say, practice. So before the actual jump-up festival, you're have to remember and figure out how you're going to jump up, right?
Lapo Cabue.
It's an excuse to have a good time.
Wow. Listen, Herbert, this is good. And that's why we do these podcasts, right? I mean, we started from the study abroad perspective, but now we're getting into the culture, have gotten into the cultural aspect of Dominica. What you just said, I don't think a lot of people think about, well, for, I would say, I don't know if a lot of people know much about Dominica, right? Because, you know, people usually confuse, we're confusing with Dominican Republic. But also we talked a lot about the cultural diversity of the Caribbean, right? And you've just pointed out the closeness to Dominica, to St. Lucia, to Haiti, to the French islands, right? Martinique and Guadeloupe, which is, I think, is an interesting and important classification. You know, even though Dominica is an English island now, and when you learn about all this, you'll probably recognize the deep history as to why all of this came about, right? Here is an island that speaks English, has this French Creole history. I'm sure that's a lot of things that people, when you go to Dominica, you may want to learn, and even before you go, try to learn about. Because what you just said is pretty important. I actually didn't even know you guys had your own music, you know. What is it called?
Bouillon. You should look it up. Bouillon.
But
and previous to that, we had what do you call Karaslipso.
Karaslipso. Karaslipso.
Karas and
spell it. So it. Spell it. Karaslipso.
Yeah.
Okay. Karaslipso. Okay. Wow. This is, listen, thank you, Herbert, for that. I mean, I've been educated today, and hopefully the listeners, you learned something new today. So I would say, honestly, based on what we just learned, this is, I think, a reason why you may want to go to Dominica. The truth is, when I think about an island like St. Vincent, whose history with the French started way, I would assume, way before Dominica, or ended way before Dominica, because the English would have obviously colonized St. Vincent ages before, and I'm sure your colonization is later, hence why all of your language and all of that happened. Is that so?
Similar to St. Lucia, you have the back and forth between the English and the French.
Mm-hmm.
So although it's actually colonized by the English in later years, there's still influence of the French because of the time that the French spend there. So if you look at place names in Dominica, simply you might have Soufrière in Dominica, in St. Lucia, and in St. Vincent.
Ah. And
in Guadeloupe also, there's a Soufrière. And it's a sulfur spring. Soufrière.
That was going to be one of my later questions to you. Why?
It's that influence.
So it's the French influence. The French has named all of these islands and these volcanoes Soufrière. Wow. Okay. So before we close this segment, Herbert, so just tell us some of the major tourists. Sites that a person should look out for in Dominica when they visit, that they should put on their list.
Certainly. If you're a hiker, trekker, one place you have to visit is the Boiling Lake. That's the world's second largest Boiling Lake. It's a 3-hour trek from the village up to that Boiling Lake. And you have to go through the Valley of Desolation, through rivers. And but when you get there, it's an amazing sight.
Wow, the Boiling Lake. Okay.
The Trafalgar Falls, and there's several, because of the terrain and the number of rivers we have. There's the Indian River, if you like snorkeling, there's Champagne. There are a bunch of places. If you're into history, there's Carbrits and Fort Shirley. We also have, in terms of history, the Jaco Flats. And Jaco Flats was where Jaco was a Maroon, had set up a camp. So it's in the interior of the island, in a rugged area. And what these Maroons did, they built, they cut steps into the rock to get to their site, to the campsite.
Wow.
So Vincent Island is good to visit the historic sites, natural sites, and also the Kainago Reservation, where you can visit and look at the traditional houses and craft and arts of that culture.
Wow. Listen, Herbert, as I've said before, Dominica was on my list before, but I think even today when I was doing some research, I had not heard about the Boiling Lake. And so now I think, honestly, for me, that's one of the things like I really want to go see.
Get your ticket. Get your ticket.
Listen, it's booked. Hey, I'm coming. Because I think this is probably what, I mean, we have a volcano, but, you know, I mean, it seems very different from what we have, right? So, so listen, if you haven't added Dominica to your list, hopefully after this conversation, you are going to consider adding Dominica to your list. And also, if you are a young person who is in college, or not just a young person, if you're in college and you are thinking about studying abroad or just want a cultural experience, I think you should consider studying abroad. And maybe they have a program in Dominica. So check with your college and see what is out there. So we are going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap this entire conversation up with Herbert on Dominica. So stay tuned. All right, so welcome back to the close of this episode. Thank you for sticking with us through this entire conversation. Hopefully you have learned a lot about Dominica and studying abroad, right? But I'm sure most of you are seeing me wearing this hoodie. Just know that YBT has merch. Maybe by the time you're listening to this podcast, all the merch will be gone. But just stay tuned. We'll have a bunch and a set of new merch that will be coming sometime soon for the summer season. So stay tuned for that. These are our gold and black hoodies. And for the summer season, we'll have a new set of merch for you. But like we do on all of our episodes here at Young Black Travelers, we take the time to shout someone out. They could be a follower, but we usually want to shout someone out from the island, the place that we are talking about. And today, I think it just makes sense to shout someone out from Dominica. And, you know, doing a little bit of search, I found this Instagram page. It's called Nature Island Nikki, and it's NATURE_island_NIKKI. And she is a Dominican, and she was called to the bar. She's Dominican. She works as a lawyer, but she has amazing pictures and photographs of her travels, and many of them in Dominica on her page. So if you probably want to learn a little bit more about the island, the beautiful nature isle of Dominica, just go on over to her page and, you know, get all the information you need there. And maybe she'll also be able to help you if you can't get on to Herbert. All right. So listen, Herbert, I guess the last few questions for you before we close this episode of our podcast. You know, I know Dominica is obviously just opening up itself to tourism because it was just like St. Vincent. It was focused on agriculture. And so Dominica is, as we talked about earlier, the Nature Isles of the Caribbean. And so do you think, with knowing this, and, you know, we've heard many times that tourism can damage, you know, certain ecosystems. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Dominica should open up maybe on a large scale, as, you know, people would be hoping now that it has pivoted to tourism? What's your take on that?
It's complicated. There are a lot of people who think that there should be an international airport and access for direct flights. Mm-hmm. But the consequences to that development, you don't build an international airport and not expect the development of a tourism and hotel industry. And that means access to certain lands is going to be lost and folks are going to get displaced. You look at a place like St. Lucia and the development of beaches and coasts and the access of a local population to something that you could walk through freely. So on one hand, it's majestic. It looks, we name it development, but development for who, and who has access to these gleaming hotels? Getting a drink, getting food is not what somebody local can afford. So it means you are the service to somebody who comes to use that facility. So there are jobs, but what kind of jobs does it provide? So it's something that has to be fully understood, that if you go to go in that direction, there's consequences. So how do you mitigate these changes? Who do you serve? Whose facility is it? Who's making the money? And where's that money going to? Is it staying local? Is it going out? Does that mean that if you build this resort that you tap into a local farmer who has local produce? Or are you importing the items used in that facility? So there are several ways to look at it. I know there are some resorts in Dominica where there's connection with some local farmers, but then to what extent can they supply on a regular basis and what has to be imported?
Wow.
So wow. You have to think of that development in a careful way. You don't build an international airport that's going to be a white elephant. Several of the islands have these international airports, but they have to pay the airlines to sustain that travel, because you can't island hop on a jet. Mm-hmm. So we have to think as a region, what might be the best way, the airlift to get into an island to make it sustainable for the airline industry means you have to market in such a way to build a certain number of people down to this place. That means you have to have X number of hotels to serve, to accommodate these people. So how can we think more strategically as a region, that folks can maybe come to one island and then have and travel from region from island to island? They all have something special to offer. So rather than market just I'm Dominica, I'm St. Vincent, I'm St. Lucia, think of how we market as a region, and even think of inter-island travel. Growing up, we had Liat, which we know was not the best. It could be frustrating. Your bags would be left, and it left when it wanted. But it's no longer there. You could live.
Well, there's an iteration of the it there.
It's not the same thing. So, I remember I live in St. Lucia. I live in Sufre in St. Lucia. I would drive down to Castries to get something, and then I see a cheap flight to Dominica for $50. I'll park my car by my cousin and hop to Dominica for the weekend and then come back.
Really?
Right now, to get to Dominica from St. Lucia, I have to go to Antigua. It's not easy to get to island hopping. It's not the same.
Wow.
And wow, that connection with our region is important, that we have that energy, we have that historical connection, that we maintain it and facilitate travel. So, for example, from Barbados to Dominica, it's cost me the same, almost the same as from Dominica to New York.
Wow. So
we have to think of how we can enhance inter-island travel and think long-term and strategically how, if that's the way we go, it's developing a way that we have control of the industry in some way. It's not somebody building some mega hotel. We have to have some local control, maybe local boutique hotels, some way that locals can benefit from that industry in a positive way.
Wow. Robert, you said a lot of powerful points. One of the points that I definitely, your answer to the question is that it is complicated, right? Because when we think of development comes with a lot of other things. And we had a whole podcast episode. A lot of what you said is made me think about back to the podcast episode we had about Black Panther and digging into the themes of Black Panther. I could see a whole college class being taught on Black Panther and all of these things, right? Because a lot of what you said was what we talked about when it even comes to development, who owns the resources and all of these things, right? So it is complicated. Hopefully a lot of the governments answered these questions. Well, the government of Dominica answered that question. But I think another point that you raised that I think is pretty important is, and you've echoed this throughout this entire episode, is how connected the region is, right? And, you know, right now it is true that the region is at a place where it is not as connected as it was before.
It should, yeah.
And it should be extremely connected. And we literally live in a world where people are more, people travel a lot, right? And we go to many different places, but the Caribbean islands or the Windward Islands, it's just really hard to get around these islands or just many places in the Caribbean. So we need, I guess, the governments of the Caribbean and the people of the Caribbean need to really think long and hard about how we can make connectivity a reality, because it is important for tourism, it is important for development, and it's just important for just the culture of the region to continue to be where it was. Thank you for that. thank you.
And we shouldn't limit the connection just to the English speaking, because we have to think of our history. We think of ourselves as different from French, from Spanish, but we're all connected in a way. So we all should learn each other's languages to facilitate that connection.
Correct. No, you're right.
We should think of ourselves as being multilingual, so you can go to Guadalupe-matic and interact with our brothers and sisters in this island, go to a Spanish-speaking place and interact with our Afro-Hispanic folks also, and experience and deal with them also.
Yeah, hence the reason why, again, we do this podcast, because we are echoing that traveling is important, and even within the islands, study abroad is still a thing. Because I actually remember my sister studied abroad when she was in St. Vincent. She studied in Martinique. And so maybe there's a thing that, you know, within the islands, we need to continue to enforce the importance, as you just said, about people going to different places and connecting with each other. And it, again, study abroad is another way that that could be done. Herbert, we are closing this episode, and I want to say thank you for joining us today on this conversation. And I just want to know, do you have any social, well, any closing words for our listeners?
Well, just thank you for inviting me here. And that's something that I encourage my students and our students to do. At the Colin Powell School, we have a holistic approach to getting our students ready. It's not only academics, but one of the things we push is study abroad, because it engages students to think outside of the box. It challenges them to explore, to meet others, and to think differently, to be challenged. And with that, you grow. So it's an experience that you'll have with you for a lifetime. It's a memory. You travel, you meet people. I was in Brazil over summer, and I made connections, and I'm texting and going back and forth with folks right now. I'm actually auditing a Portuguese class right now, just so I can communicate with folks. Because if we limit ourselves to just an English-speaking folk, we have to realize the African diaspora is broad. We have folks who speak Spanish, French, Portuguese, Dutch. So we have to be connected and don't limit ourselves to just one region.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you so much, Herbert. And do you, if anyone want to reach out to you, do you have any social media that they can connect with you on?
I have an IG, but I haven't updated. I don't update it as much as should. So I actually haven't posted anything from Brazil yet. But they can DM me on my IG page.
Definitely. Drop your IG for our listeners.
Yes. I'm going to search for it. I don't use it that much. Thank you. Herb Roots 13.
Oh, 13. Okay, Herb Roots 13. So if you want to connect with Herbert, if you have any questions for him, maybe you have questions about studying at the Colin Powell School, studying at City College. Maybe you want to reach out to Herbert. Maybe you have questions for him about Brazil. Maybe you have questions for him about Dominica. Then you certainly should reach out to Herbert, and he will be willing and happy to answer you. But listeners, thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Young Black Travelers Podcast. We want to remind you that even though the pandemic is, well, now they're about to end it officially here in the US. And so even whatever though that, whatever that means, right? So that's exactly our point. You still need to be careful. So we here at Young Black Travelers is encouraging you to continue to keep the sanitary practices that we know have kept us safe as travelers throughout the pandemic and even before. And if you haven't been doing them, we encourage you to wash your hands all the time. You know, cover your mouth. And if you feel uncomfortable and if you're sick at any time, wear a mask. This is how we know that we will continue to interact with each other and enjoy the travels that we all love so much. And we want you to know that you can continue to follow us and stay tuned to everything that we are doing here at Young Black Travelers. You can follow us on Facebook at Young Black Travelers, on Instagram at Young Black Travelers Blog, on Twitter at YBT Blog. You can visit our website at www.youngblacktravelers.com. And you can also listen to our podcast on youngblacktravelers.com. And again, be mindful of who's around you, be careful. And honestly, we're in 2023, so the pandemic, as they say, is ending. So go out, live life, enjoy, travel, have a wonderful day, and enjoy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Right.